The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
If a believer stops believing, since everlasting life is in Jesus, doesn't the believer move himself out of the position of being eternally saved? Why or why not? Hello, friend. This is Grace in Focus, the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We are glad that you've joined us today. Please find out more about the Grace Evangelical Society by going to our website, faithalone.org. Everything about us is there, and you can also subscribe to our daily blogs and receive them Monday through Friday. Once again, the website, faithalone.org. Now with today's discussion about the great once saved, always saved debate, here are Bob Wilkin and Sam Marr.
Sam, you were watching, I had a debate last week with someone named Steve Gregg. What was the title of the debate?
It was the Great Once Saved, Always Saved debate on Standing for Truth's website. He does a lot of debates with Christian YouTubers and pastors.
So you have been looking at the comments that people have made, and some people have asked this question. So you've suggested that we do a podcast and a radio program on this. So we're going to do that. And I think you have two questions we were going to look at. Who was the first question from?
The first question is from Joshua. He has a two-part question. The first part is regarding Steve Gregg's points that he made in the debate. If we stop believing in Jesus, we no longer have everlasting life, since everlasting life is in Jesus and not us. And the condition to have everlasting life is continual belief.
That's what Steve Gregg was saying.
Yeah, that was his point. And so Josh just wants you to elaborate on that point because he felt you didn't have time in the debate to counter that.
Okay, here would be my response. To say that everlasting life is in Christ, not in us, is a major error, because John says, he who has the Son has the life. And so once I have the Son of God by faith, I have everlasting life. And, of course, the life that I have is everlasting. It can't be lost. Jesus said to Martha, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. And I brought this up in the debate, and I never got a good response that I recall from Steve Gregg on how it could be true that we're never going to die, and yet we can lose everlasting life. Although I think he didn't quite say that. You remember? I don't think he said we lose everlasting life. I think he said something like, we're no longer in Christ, therefore we're no longer in that which gives us that life. So it's not like we lost it. But of course, I never understood that, because isn't it losing it if I no longer have it?
Well, to me, the way he presented his argument, and I'm sure he would disagree with this, but the way he presented it is, you really never have everlasting life. Because it's only in Jesus. You never have it. You share in what Jesus allows you to have. But that was his view, is you have everlasting life as long as you have it. And then if you no longer have it, then you don't have everlasting life.
So I think I kind of understood what you're saying, that he was saying that everlasting life is deposited with Jesus. Or actually, he didn't say this correctly, because in the scriptures, Jesus is everlasting life, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Mm-hmm. But Steve seemed to say that everlasting life is kind of sourced in Jesus, or it's contained in Jesus. And so I think what you're saying is that he was saying, if I'm in Jesus, I'm in the place where everlasting life is. But once I'm not in Jesus, it's not that I lost everlasting life. It's just I lost the place where it is.
Exactly. His view of the vine and the branches is Jesus Christ is the vine. And so that is where the everlasting life is. As long as you're connected to the vine, you have everlasting life flowing through you, I guess. But then if you get cut off the vine, you're no longer connected to everlasting life.
Yeah, and that came up in the debate, and I pointed out that it talks about being cut off as a branch. It's not cut off as a believer, cut off as a child of God. Part of the problem is Steve Gregg was saying also that the condition of everlasting life is continuous faith, and he based it on ha pistuon, the present active articular participle, mm-hmm. from the verb to believe, pistuane. And my response is no, that is basically a designation of the believer. Just like ha baptizon refers to John the Baptist. He's still John the Baptist, even though he hasn't baptized anybody in 2,000 years. And once a person believes in Christ, that's their position, the believer, even if they were later to stop believing. So basically what I would say is he's going more on a philosophical bent, Steve Gregg is, rather than going to say, Jesus says, he who lives and believes in me shall never die, or the one who comes to me shall never hunger, the one who believes in me shall never thirst, the one who comes to me I'll never cast out. Instead of going to verses like that and building his understanding, instead he develops this philosophy that somehow everlasting life, Jesus is the one that has it, and as long as we're in Jesus, we have it. But Jesus doesn't have it. Jesus is eternal life. And we aren't everlasting life, we have the life. Mm-hmm. And once we have the life, we have his life.
And it's everlasting.
And his life's everlasting.
We will rejoin in just a moment. But years ago, Zane Hodges wrote The Gospel Under Siege. Sadly, this is still true, and GES President Bob Wilkin has recently written its sequel. Bob's new book, The Gospel Is Still Under Siege, is a book about theological clarity on the biblical teaching about eternal salvation. It is available now. Secure yours today at the Grace Evangelical Society's bookstore. Find it at faithalone.org/store. That's faithalone.org/store. Now back to today's content.
Now, there's a second question that Joshua had. What was the second part?
This one relates to the parable of the prodigal son. He, Steve Gregg, mentioned that even if we become a child of God through believing in Jesus, but later on we stop believing in him, we still remain a child of God, but lose the benefits of being his child and thus forfeit everlasting life.
Whoa, now I do remember in the debate him talking about that the prodigal son was still a son when he was in the far country, but he didn't have everlasting life. And so the way that Joshua is asking this is helpful because he's putting it together. So what he's saying is, once you're a child of God, you're always a child of God, but you're only a child of God with eternal life as long as you're in fellowship with God, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, I think it's even worse than that, because didn't Steve Gregg say at some point in the debate that even unbelievers are children, even people who've never been born again, they're children of God too? Did he say that?
I think so, something like that. And this was a reoccurring thing that he kept bringing up, was part of this question, lose the benefits of being a child. For him, everlasting life is just one of the benefits of being in fellowship with God. So he lumped all the rewards and fellowship, all the things that come with walking in the light, all of that is salvation in Steve Gregg's view.
Yeah. Now, Lewis Berry Chafer, the founder of Dallas Seminary, he famously wrote that there are 33 things that happen that are irreversible at the moment of faith. Things like we're born again, we're justified, the Holy Spirit takes up permanent resident within our lives, we become citizens of heaven, we have a guaranteed home in Jesus' kingdom. He had 33 of those things. But there are things, I would agree, there are some benefits of walking in fellowship with God that are forfeited when we stop walking in fellowship with God.
Mm-hmm.
But that's different than benefits of being a child of God. Those are benefits of being a child of God who's in fellowship. So, for example, the forgiveness of sins. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, 1 John 1:7. Or if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. And of course, if we walk in fellowship with God, we get his blessings. If we don't walk in fellowship with God, we get curses. We get judgment in this life. And so there are things that can be forfeited in terms of benefits, but one of them is not everlasting life. You know, it seems to me part of the problem here, as I mentioned earlier, Steve isn't going to the clear passages. Like, think of John 1:12 and 13. He came to his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of flesh or the will of man, but of God. And so to be born of God is to be a person who is a child of God and has everlasting life. And now all the nevers come into play. Never hunger, never thirst, never perish, never die, never be cast out. And so I would say in regards to Joshua's second point, yeah, we don't, how would we put this? We don't lose connection with everlasting life if we cease to be in fellowship with God. What we lose is fellowship with God, which is a great blessing. You know, the prodigal son, I think I brought this up in the debate. You heard it, maybe you remember, but the point I make is that the prodigal son was a son before he went to the far country, when he was in the far country, and when he returned. And a son of the father in this parable means a person who is born again. But of course, that's where Steve is agreeing and disagreeing with me. He's saying, oh yeah, he was a son that whole time, but no, the everlasting life was lost. And he did it in part, I think, because of the verse, although I don't remember him quoting this. Remember the father says, this my son was dead and is alive again. Well, the dead part refers to being out of fellowship with him, and alive again refers to being in fellowship with him. So the point is, before he went to the far country, the prodigal son was not prodigal. He was in fellowship with his father. While he was in the far country, he still had everlasting life. He was still a child of God. But what he lacked now was fellowship with his father. When he came back, he now was alive again in the sense of being in fellowship with the father. So, Josh, those are two good questions. Anything else on that, Sam, on that one?
Yeah, he's not going to get any of those verses right if he views the word dead as unbelieving or unsaved or whatever he conflates it with the passage of the vine and with that one. And I'm sure with James, dead always just means unsaved or eternally condemned.
That's the way he takes it, yeah.
Right.
But actually, most of the time in Scripture, dead either means physically dead or sometimes it's used figuratively for something that's unproductive or unprofitable, like James 2, 17, 20, and 26. Or sometimes it refers to being out of fellowship with God, like in the prodigal son.
And we say that today. If someone's dead to you, they're clearly
right?
Still alive. Otherwise, you wouldn't be bringing it up.
Yeah, I like Shark Tank. And Mr. Wonderful, if he doesn't make a deal with somebody, he goes, you're dead to me. Well, thanks so much, everybody. And in the meantime, Sam, what are we going to do?
Keep
grace in focus.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. On our next episode, we continue this 3-part series about the great once saved, always saved debate. Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.